I am Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is December 26th, 2010. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today's show features an article that was written by the self-proclaimed biologist Brock Lee, who runs a website called youngearthcreation.org. His article begins, "What is a species? The evolutionary answer seems simple enough. A species is an interbreeding population." Brock, while that is generally true, it is not quite that simple. For instance, Neanderthals were a different species of human than modern humans. Yet DNA analysis has proven that non-African modern humans interbred with them. He continues, "Most people walk away from biology classes with this definition, and it is this definition which causes problems." Brock, that is because it is too general and doesn't take into account exceptions like the one I just cited. Brock says, "In the first DVD of Hovind's debate series, you can hear one college student give this exact definition." Ah, Kent Hovind. Brock, that wouldn't be the Kent Hovind who is currently in prison because of his unlimited honesty, would it? He continues, "Notice that by this definition, those that are not interbreeding are not part of the species." Brock, that is about as stupid as something Kent Hovind himself would say. You don't have to be breeding to be part of the species. Sterile humans don't breed. Are you claiming that they aren't human? He continues, "This means that a virgin is not, by this definition, a human." Brock, this is the kind of corner you paint yourself into when you get your logic from religion. Since a virgin is obviously human, your distortion of the definition of species is clearly absurd. He goes on, "If you use this definition, child sacrifice would not be considered murder, since murder only applies to humans. The child is not able to interbreed, and thus cannot meet the criteria of being in the human species." Brock, what is amazing is how someone can reason their way into an impossibly absurd position, as you have just done, and then continue to dig yourself in deeper with every statement. Haven't you ever heard the advice, when you find yourself in a hole, quit digging? He continues, "Do you see how something so simple as a wrong definition can have devastating effects?" Brock, it wasn't the definition which led to the devastating effects. It was your imbecilic attempt at reasoning which did that. He said, "Hormones, peers, and the teaching of evolution work as a trifecta to push teens into being sexually active." Well, Brock, you got 2 out of 3. You're improving. He said, "Teens can control behavior and change friends, but the corrosive teaching of evolution will linger beyond them because it is ingrained in the modernist humanist belief system." Brock, what evidence do you offer to support that statement? He said, "It is no surprise then that some teens in this town think sex stores are a good thing." Well, Brock, I will agree that they're better than churches. He said, "They've been taught that sex is the only way to become human." Brock, who said that? Unless you can produce names, you have constructed a straw man argument. He goes on, "And that even then, humans have no value anyway because we're part of the problem." Brock, I think you're confusing science and religion. It is religion that teaches that humans are vile sinners with no value. He said, "The right approach is not simply to get rid of the store, but rather to destroy the false teachings which made such a store thrive." Brock, if your source of information is Kent Hovind, then you are already an expert on false teachings. He said, as Kent Hovind says, What you believe determines how you behave. Brock, is that why he is in prison? He continues, and when it comes to studying beliefs, begin at the beginning. Finally, Brock, we agree. The beginning is always a great place to start. He said, if you would like to volunteer your time or talents to combat false teachings about origins, please contact me at brocklee@youngearthcreation.org. Brock, by volunteer, I assume you mean that you want people to work for you, but you have no plans on paying them. Yes, it is easy to see that you are a product of Kent Hovind thinking. Be careful, Brock, or like Kent, you might wind up getting nightly visits from Bubba. His final comment, God made sex, so use it as he says, in marriage. Brock, you need to dust off your Bible. You seem to have forgotten all those verses about polygamy. Solomon, one of God's favorites, had 700 wives and 300 hookers. God never chastised or punished him. Instead, he made him a rich, famous king. I could go on and on and on listing polygamous heroes in your Bible, but you get the point. You just refuse to recognize it. And now we move to the science segment. Today's article, the universe holds 3 times more stars than was previously thought. The chances of alien life existing beyond the Earth have been boosted by the discovery that a number of stars in the universe might be triple current estimates. This would potentially take the total for the universe to 3 septillion, or a 3 followed by 24 zeros, more than the total number of grains of sand on all the Earth's beaches and deserts. If that were not mind-boggling enough, the discovery boosts the chances of extraterrestrial life. The new stars are red dwarfs, small bundles of glowing gases cooler and dimmer than the sun. Astronomers have discovered that dim red dwarf stars in nearby elliptical galaxies are much more numerous than in our own Milky Way galaxy. This suggests that the total number of stars in the universe could be up to 3 times higher than previously thought. Astronomer Peter Van Dokkum said, there are possibly trillions of Earths orbiting these stars. They were already known to be the most abundant type of star, but our inability to see much past our own galaxy meant no one realized just how common they were. Professor Van Dokkum of Yale University in the United States used one of the world's largest telescopes to peer far past our own Milky Way galaxy into 8 egg-shaped elliptical galaxies. The giant telescope at the Keck Observatory in Hawaii picked out the particular pattern of light emitted by red dwarfs, and the signature was much stronger than expected. The elliptical galaxies were found to be home to 20 times more red dwarfs than the Milky Way. Across the universe as a whole, this could triple the number of stars. Professor Van Dokkum said, no one knew how many of these stars there were. Different theoretical models predicted a wide range of possibilities. So this answers a long-standing question about just how abundant these stars are. Charlie Conroy, the study's co-author, said, we usually assume other galaxies look like our own, but this suggests other conditions are possible in other galaxies. More stars also mean more planets, raising the odds that we are not alone in the universe. And the great age of the red dwarfs found in the elliptical galaxies raises the odds of another form of life having evolved even more. The red dwarfs discovered were typically more than 10 billion years old, which provides enough time for complex life to have evolved. One recently detected exoplanet, which astronomers believe could potentially harbor life, orbits a red dwarf star called Gliese 581. Dr. Van Dokkum said, there are possibly trillions of Earths orbiting these stars. The discovery also has implications for theories about dark matter, the mysterious invisible stuff that appears to exert a gravitational influence on galaxies but cannot be detected directly. More abundant red dwarfs might mean that galaxies contain less dark matter than earlier measurements indicated. Edinburgh University researchers recently calculated that almost 40,000 worlds in our galaxy are hospitable enough to be home to creatures at least as intelligent as ourselves. Astrophysicist Duncan Forgan created a computer program that collated all the data on several hundred planets known to man and worked out what proportion would have conditions suitable for life. The estimate, which took into account factors such as temperature and availability of water and minerals, was then extrapolated across the Milky Way. What is more, these life forms would not be mere amoeba wiggling on the end of a microscope, but fully fledged aliens, because the scientists' definition of intelligent life is a species at least as advanced as humans. As outlandish as the theory sounds, many Britons believe in little green men. When more than 2,000 men and women were polled for the Royal Society, 44% said they believe in extraterrestrial life. Just 28% were non-believers, with the remaining 28% saying they simply couldn't be sure. My comment. When you are asked if you believe in the existence of extraterrestrials, you are not being asked if you are sure. Nobody is sure. You are being asked which you believe based on the available evidence. And now the arena goes abroad. This story is about a survey that shows that the majority of Muslims want Islam in politics, but they have mixed feelings about the militant groups Hamas and Hezbollah. A majority of Muslims around the world welcome a significant role for Islam in their country's political life, according to a new poll from the Pew Research Center, but have mixed feelings toward militant religious groups such as Hamas and Hezbollah. According to the survey, about 85% of Pakistani Muslims said they would support a law segregating men and women in the workplace. Majorities in Pakistan, Egypt, Jordan, and Nigeria would favor changing current laws to allow stoning as a punishment for adultery, hand amputation for theft, and death for those who convert from Islam to another religion. My comment. I try to be fair to Islam. I really do. Then I read polls like this one that show what these people really believe. It is difficult for me to accept that millions of so-called modern 21st century humans could be capable of such backward, savage, subhuman thinking. But difficult or not, the facts speak for themselves. Those people in the poll who supported the list of monstrous evil morals just listed have a long, long way to go before they can be considered fully human. There is your proof for evolution. There is your transitional species. The article continues. Muslims in Indonesia, Egypt, Nigeria, and Jordan were among the most enthusiastic, with more than three-quarters of poll respondents in those countries reporting positive views of Islam's influence in politics. Either that Islam had a large role in politics and that was a good thing, or that it played a small role and that was bad. Turkish Muslims were the most conflicted, with just more than half reporting positive views of Islam's influence in politics. Turkey has struggled in recent years to balance a secular political system with an increasing fervent Muslim population. My comment, the same thing is happening worldwide. From Europe to the U.S., religion is attacking governments to gain control of power. The article continues, many Muslims described a struggle in their country between fundamentalists and modernizers, especially those who may have felt threatened by the rising tides of conservatism. Among those respondents who identified a struggle, most tended to side with the modernizers. This was especially true in Lebanon and Turkey, where 84% and 74% respectively identified themselves as modernizers as opposed to fundamentalists. In Egypt and Nigeria, however, more people were pulling in the other direction. According to the poll, 59% in Egypt and 58% in Nigeria, who said there was a struggle, identified with the fundamentalists. Despite an overall positive view of Islam's growing role in politics, militant religious organizations such as Hamas and Hezbollah spurred mixed reactions. Both groups enjoyed fairly strong support in Jordan, home to many Palestinians, and Lebanon, where Hezbollah is based. Muslim countries that do not share strong cultural, historical, and political ties to the Palestinian cause, such as Pakistan and Turkey, tended to view Hezbollah and Hamas negatively. Al-Qaeda was rejected by strong majorities in every Muslim country except Nigeria, which gave the group a 49% approval rating. And now we move to the religion segment, which once again focuses on Islam. The title, One Muslim's Opinion of Christmas. His article begins, "Every year at this time we see the same ritual. The decorations are dragged out and draped over anything that stands still. Christmas trees are chopped down and then erected in millions of front rooms. Father Christmas, Christmas dinner, sleeping through the Queen's speech. Where's the evil in that, you might say? Why don't you tell us, Mohammed?" And now he does. "It's all about Father Christmas, or it's a celebration of the birth of Jesus," many say. The reality is that Christmas is more about office parties, house parties, raves, nightclubs, alcohol, drugs, and all the things that these lead to, like illicit sex, violence, rape, domestic violence, crime, vandalism, and so on. Mo, so now you're knocking our hobbies? He said, "The fact is that Christmas is the time when men and women become the most base, immoral creatures who don't care for anything or anyone. Their sole purpose becomes enjoyment in whatever depraved form that might take." Mo, what evidence do you have for that claim? How do you know they become base and immoral? How do you know they don't care for anything or anyone? How do you know that enjoyment becomes their sole purpose? If you could show that they converted to Islam during Christmas, then I might be inclined to agree with you. He continues, "Is this what life is about, to be undignified, base, depraved, without any guiding morality? Mo, as a Muslim, your beliefs include the most depraved, violent, inhuman morals on the planet. I don't think you're in a position to be criticizing anyone until you first clean up your own cesspool." He said, "If Jesus were alive today, he would join you." Mo, I am pretty sure he would gladly celebrate Christmas with an atheist like me rather than a Jew-hating bigot like yourself who is slandering his birthday. He said, "Of course you know very well he would not. He is someone who called for goodness and condemned evil." Mo, then it looks like you may be in a little bit of trouble. He said, "In this life it seems that there is no good and bad, that it is just someone's opinion. In fact, there is good and bad, and these are defined by God, and it was up to prophets like Jesus and many others to inform mankind of this." Mo, I've seen how good and bad are defined in your holy books, both the Quran and the Bible, and you have to be an imbecile not to see that those ancient goat herders didn't have a clue about morality. He said, "Don't believe that man decides what is moral and what is immoral. Actually, Mo, man does decide what is moral and immoral. Those decisions are what we call laws." He said, "When it is left to man, the bar is slowly lifted. What is deemed to be acceptable is stretched further and further away from what is good." Mo, the truth is the exact opposite of what you claim. Our laws have improved on your ancient brutal laws. For example, the slavery condoned in the Bible has been replaced by modern laws outlawing the practice. Maybe if you had spent a few years picking cotton, you might have a better understanding of that fact. He said, "So in the past, marriage was the only way for men and women to have a relationship with one another. Now anything goes. Anyone, anyhow, and with anything." Well, Mo, don't worry. Even anything probably wouldn't include you. He said, "From the time of Adam until the time of the prophet Muhammad, prophets have received instructions from God for mankind. That's right, Mo. And I noticed that in Mohammed's instruction packet, there was an approval to rape a 9-year-old girl. He said they received a complete and comprehensive manual on how to live your life. Mo, that is the purpose of most religions, to control every aspect of a person's life. There is no religion where this is more true than in yours. He said governments particularly are not warm towards revelation, and throughout time, up until today, have attacked those who carry the truth. That is a lie, Mo. Governments and religion go hand in hand. They work together to control the ignorant masses. He continues, so the prophets sacrificed their lives in order to pass this message. They struggled and strived in order to guide us to the truth. Mo, these clowns claim that an invisible ghost was telling them what to write down. They wouldn't recognize truth if it slapped them in the face. He said, don't be the one that throws that back in their faces, or the arrogant that thinks he knows what is good and bad. No, Mo, we'll let you do that. He said, don't be the fool that thinks what harm can alcohol, drugs, or parties cause. Look around you. What causes the teenage pregnancies or the abortions, homelessness, broken families, debt, domestic violence, poverty, violence, etc.? I don't know, Mo. Video games? He said, these are all side effects of evils in society. In Islam, these problems are irradiated. Not exactly, Mo. The people are eradicated. That's why the problems disappear. He said, there are growing numbers who used to celebrate Christmas and indeed every other festival, but at some point in their lives discovered something that completely changed their lives. They became worshipers instead of partiers. Wow, Mo, worshipers. What a great way to spend all your time. His final comment, they become caring instead of couldn't care less, loyal rather than sleep around. They became Muslims. Submitters to God rather than submitters to their own desires. My final comment. And the Christians think atheists are Grinches? They should check this guy out. And now for the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today, 3 more from Thomas Jefferson. So I'll skip the bio since that was done several weeks ago. The first quote from Thomas Jefferson. A professorship of theology should have no place in our institutions. Short and to the point. I like it. The second quote. The day will come when the mystical generation of Jesus, by the Supreme Being as his father, in the womb of a virgin, will be classed with the fable of the generation of Minerva in the brain of Jupiter. And now for the final quote from Thomas Jefferson. In every government on earth is some trace of human weakness, some germ of corruption and degeneracy, which cunning will discover and wickedness insensibly open, cultivate, and improve. Every government degenerates when trusted to the rulers of the people alone. The people themselves, therefore, are its only safe depositories. And to render even them safe, their minds must be improved.
Are you ready, Goose? Start walking.